Welcome to Business Spotlight on Money Radio WPSE. Business Spotlight is heard weekly at this time on 1450 AM and 107.1 FM. Today's guest is Amy Haggerty, Transplant Administrator at UPMC Hammond. Amy, thanks so much for joining us. Why is it important to recognize Donate Life Month, which is in April, and what does it mean to you?
Donate Life Month is an opportunity and a time for a community to come together to recognize the very important work that happens around the nation for organ donation and transplantation. So Donate Life Month really is that time that we can honor donors, whether they're deceased donors or they are living donors, for giving that ultimate gift of life to a recipient. And really rallying a community behind understanding why that is so important. So we talk a lot in Donate Life Month about the very staggering statistics of the number of people that are on wait lists around the country. We kind of more locally talk about those numbers as well. But we really want people to understand what that means to become an organ donor. And again, considering living donation as a potential option. Because again, there are so many people out there waiting for that life-saving organ. So we do a lot of events to raise awareness during Donate Life Month, as do a lot of places and hospitals around the country. So this is really a very national focus on the issues of organ donation and transplantation.
Amy, what is the trend recently to Donate Life Month? Have you seen a growth with it?
So as a newer transplant center to the community, we've taken a really vital role in planning and executing Donate Life events during the month of April. For example, in the beginning, we did some table events inside the hospital just to raise awareness, you know, as people were coming into the hospital, both staff and potentially, you know, patients, families, and things. But we have really expanded that, you know, and kind of taken it every year to the next level. And so we have done multiple things, including flag raising events. We have the last couple of years, and we'll do it again this year, lighting up the Bicentennial Tower at the foot of State Street in the colors of Donate Life, which are blue and green. We have done community town halls to educate the public about organ donation and transplantation. We have, in the last couple of years, we had lights put on the front of our building that we light up when a transplant happens in blue and green. So that's another way to communicate to the community that a transplant has occurred. And, you know, as people are seeing that, it's really catching on that, oh, a transplant has happened. And that's, you know, kind of a really cool thing. And you see a lot of posts going across social media about that. This year, something new that we're doing is what we're calling a Dash to Donate. It's a 5K that we're holding to, again, just as just another fun way to get out in the community and rally awareness about organ donation and transplantation. So yes, every year we keep adding on to the events that we're planning and really trying to make this, you know, like fun and engaging and, you know, again, while we're also educating.
So beyond Erie, you've seen that sort of awareness?
So, and again, I think that what we're seeing, not just here in the Erie community, but nationally, is everyone really stepping up their game, and particularly, again, that month of April, because it is designated as Donate Life Month, because as every year goes by, there are more and more people that are getting added to the wait list that are in need of those life-saving organs. So inside of a transplant community across the nation, and other hospitals that participate with organ donation, really taking that all those things to the next level to, again, raise awareness about why there is such a need and for all these people that need those organs.
Amy, what do you say to somebody that isn't an organ donor, but maybe they should consider it?
What I would say is this is clearly an individual decision as to should you be an organ donor or is it not for you? But I would say to the person who is more on the fence of like, should I or shouldn't I, really considering that what you can potentially offer to somebody at, you know, the end of life, that chance for a second life, is so vitally important, and to really, you know, like think about what you can offer to somebody, you know, as that ultimate gift at your own end of life, or doesn't have to be at the end of life. It could be as a living donor. So we have kidneys that can be procured as a living donor, and we also have liver. So liver is another organ that somebody can donate as a living donor. So, but when we talk about like, you know, really like designating as an organ donor, such as on a driver's license, what we are really talking about is that decision at the end of your life that something traumatic has maybe happened, or you are, you know, nearing that end of life for whatever reason. And having that designation as an organ donor really takes the burden off of a family member to try and have to make that decision for you. And it is then your wish to say, I really want to do this. And, you know, please honor my wish and have not even just my organs, but if organs aren't viable to be donated, there's always skin. There's cornea. So there's other, you know, tissues that can be procured that can help many, many, many people. So really making and really intentionally thinking about what gift can you make to somebody that can be life-saving for somebody else.
Amy, some of the numbers as far as waiting lists and so on are pretty alarming. Can you share a few of those?
Yeah, so nationally, there are about 114,000 people in our country who are waiting some type of organ. Most of those patients, about 82% of them, so that's roughly like in that 90% or 90,000 mark, are waiting for kidneys. At Hammett, we are a kidney transplant center, so we focus just on kidney. And what we have seen in this community as we have built our program here is we have seen our numbers on our wait list increasing every year. So right now we have nearly 75 patients on our wait list, waiting again for that life-saving organ. In Pennsylvania, we have about 7,400 patients waiting for an organ, not just kidney, but, you know, but also, you know, liver, heart, lung, intestine or pancreas, most of those, again, being kidney. So we have seen year on year, we have seen those numbers, unfortunately, increasing. And the reason for that is that we just don't have enough donors to meet the need. So while the numbers of people who are needing an organ are increasing, our numbers of people who are donating are either staying the same or in some years have actually decreased. So that's why that number just, it's really hard to chip away at that number and really getting the messaging out to people to consider organ donation to help those people and to start dropping significantly some of those numbers. It's a simple math. You know, it's a supply and demand issue. You know, we don't have enough supply to meet the demand of people who are in need of those life-saving organs. So we are seeing that here in our own community, in our backyard, which is just trending the same as nationally, you know, everywhere.
When it comes to the waiting list, does it come down to just greater education?
Really, I think it does in a lot of cases. So there's a lot of people out there that who could be an organ donor that choose not to be for one reason or another. And, you know, again, you know, is that a lot centered around education? I do believe that that is probably true. You know, and again, this, it is not to say there's a lot of people who, for, you know, like different reasons, choose not to be organ donors, and that's fine, you know. But for others, I think that there's, you know, a misconception that if I choose to be an organ donor, that they won't, you know, if I go to the hospital, they won't really try to help save my life, you know, because I'm designated as an organ donor. That has been a myth around for a very long time. And it's a very unfortunate myth because it is totally a misconception that, you know, like the people that do ultimately become organ donors, that every effort has been exhausted to help that person save their own life first. It is only truly in that when every option has been exhausted that that even becomes a discussion point. So I think chipping away at some of the myths about organ donation and providing that education so that people know and understand, you know, what organ donation is, what this really does mean to that recipient and can mean to that recipient is probably the best way to start increasing some of those numbers. But then on the other side of this too is, again, I have to keep stressing living donation. And that's where a lot of education really does need to happen. I do think that there's a lot of people who don't realize that you can become a living donor for both kidney and liver, which is a little, the liver side is more, is newer. And the concept of being a living liver donor, there's not a lot of centers in the country who do living donor liver. We are very fortunate in the UPMC system that UPMC Presbyterian is leading the nation in living donor liver transplants. So they are becoming very expert at that. But having more people step forward and being willing to be a living donor for either kidney or liver is where a lot of education needs to center. So we have had amazingly, I think this is really, truly just such an act of kindness, is we have had a few people that have stepped forward, even within Hammett and at our center, to be altruistic donors, kidney donors, which means that they don't know a particular recipient who is in need of an organ, but they are still compelled to want to donate their kidney to somebody who is in need. So they have just stepped forward to say, you know what, look, I know that there's a lot of people out there that, you know, need a kidney, and I'd like to donate the kidney. And it is just simply amazing. And what that does is that actually can help trigger a chain of transplants that happen. So when we have somebody who steps forward as that altruistic donor saying, I would really like to donate my kidney, we work them up, and we've, you know, that they, you know, go through the process, and we find them to be a good donor, suitable donor, then we can connect that patient with another recipient who might have a living donor who doesn't match them. So instead of saying to that donor who doesn't match their intended recipient, thank you, but you can't donate, we can enter all those people into a chain and create these chains of where we're linking donors and recipients together, and we can have multiple people transplanted pretty much all at the same time. So it's really, you know, pretty cool what an altruistic donor does in those scenarios. But again, just somebody who is willing to step forward without really knowing a person who needs a kidney and saying, I really want to do this, is nothing short of amazing.
Amy, UPMC Hammett became a certified kidney transplant center in late 2016, making it the only approved transplant program in the region. Tell us how many transplants have been performed and the highlights of this journey.
So let me start with the journey itself. So the journey actually started in 2014. At that particular point in time, the kidney team from Pittsburgh, from University of Pittsburgh Medical Center, they were coming up to Hammett as an outreach clinic. So that was surgeon, transplant nephrologist, and some other members of their team coming to Erie, coming and using some space at Hammett to see patients who were potential kidney recipients, to work them up to see if they would be a suitable candidate for transplant. Ultimately, if they were, that they would go on Presby's, UPMC Presbyterian's wait list, and they would have their transplant done in Pittsburgh. But then a little later in 2014, one of the surgeons took a look at Hammett and said, why not Hammett? Why not perform the transplant itself at Hammett? And so that was really what started this journey, to look at the infrastructure of Hammett, and did Hammett really have all the resources to be able to perform kidney transplants? And the answer at the end of the day was yes. But we can't just decide we want to be a transplant center. There is a very long process that needs to happen from a regulatory perspective. Applications need to be filed with the United Network of Organ Sharing, who is the government body that grants a hospital the right to be a transplant center. So paperwork needs to be filed there. They need to, you know, look through, you know, you as a hospital and say, yes, you do have the infrastructure. Yes, we do believe that you would be a good place to perform kidney transplants. Once that happens, and that happened for us in July of 2015, we were able to then start working patients up for transplant. But that's not the end of the story. So there's another set of approvals that needs to happen through the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, otherwise known as CMS. But CMS does require that you do a handful of transplants, basically kind of proving that you can do this and safely and, you know, with good quality before they will come in and survey your program. So we had completed 4 living donor transplants before CMS did come to us then in the fall of 2016 to take a look at our program, survey our program. And we are very proud to say that we had a phenomenal survey with CMS, and they were highly impressed with our program and did give us their approval. So then in November of 2016, that's when we officially became a kidney transplant center. And you're correct, we are now the only kidney transplant center in the Northwest PA region. So since that time, and altogether as of now, we have performed 31 life-saving kidney transplants to patients in our community. And so our community really draws from not just Northwestern Pennsylvania, but from Western New York as well, that we are seeing patients come to us in need of kidney transplant. So we are very, very proud of, you know, to be able to sit here and say that we have saved 31 lives in our region.
Amy, this just isn't a Hammett venture. You work with other UPMC hospitals, right, as far as paired transplants, and you even had a 3-way transplant. Can you explain that a little bit more for us?
So what's really phenomenal about being part of a large system such as UPMC is that we have 3 adult transplant centers within the UPMC system. So UPMC Hammett, which of course is here in Erie, Pennsylvania, UPMC Presbyterian, which is in Pittsburgh, and then UPMC Pinnacle, which is in Harrisburg. So because all 3 of our centers perform kidney transplants, what we are able to do with each other is we are able to take recipients and donors from each center and pair them together. So that chain can happen. So for example, when we did this 3-way exchange between all of our centers, which actually happened in January of 2018, there was an altruistic donor at UPMC Pinnacle in Harrisburg, again, who said, you know, and she had her own story, which was a pretty cool story about why she wanted to be an altruistic donor. But she stepped forward and said, I really want to donate a kidney to somebody. And so matching her then, we found a great match for her actually at Hammett. And the recipient at Hammett did have a living donor who did not match him. So we were able to take that recipient's donor and match that donor with the recipient in Pittsburgh. And then there was a donor in Pittsburgh who then was able to be matched with a recipient in Harrisburg at UPMC Pinnacle. So, you know, through a whole series of, you know, events, we were able to link all of these people together. None of those people had to travel anywhere. They were, so the donor that was in Pinnacle had her organ procured in Harrisburg. She never had to leave her community. That organ was flown via helicopter to Hammett, which, you know, when we received the organ, we then immediately transplanted that organ into our recipient. Simultaneously, our donor at Hammett was having that organ procured and then flown down to Pittsburgh to go in, you know, to be transplanted into that recipient, and then and so on. So again, none of these people had to leave their communities. We arranged all the transportation and all the logistics, really making this a very seamless process for all of these patients.
Personally, you've led the effort, and it's an intense one, to become a transplant center. What are you most proud of with this?
What I am most proud of is that this service, a transplant service, exists in our community. I was born and raised here in the Erie community, and I am very vested in, you know, our population here and what we can do to improve healthcare for people who live in our region. And it's for people who have had to travel, people who are very sick and have had to travel to other places to receive their care. Being able to bring this high level of care into the community so that these people do not have to travel anywhere, and really easing the burden for them, not just physically, but also mentally and emotionally and, you know, financially, quite frankly, is something that we all should be very proud of. And having, when you think about transplant, there are only 252 hospitals in this country that perform kidney transplant, which equates to only 4% of hospitals in the entire country. We are in a very elite group of hospitals performing kidney transplant. And that is something that not just me, but everyone in this community should be extraordinarily proud of.
There really is no need to go to a bigger city for a transplant, is there?
There is not. And I think that, you know, something that makes us very unique here too is that because we are surgeons, our transplant surgeons that are on staff for us also transplant at UPMC Presbyterian, our experience level with our transplant center is one of the top in the country. We are, again, our patients are receiving the exact same care here at UPMC Hammett as if they would go to Pittsburgh for a transplant, which is, again, something nothing short of amazing. So, you know, our patients are, we have exceptional outcomes. Our patients are, you know, very happy when they are coming through our transplant center and receiving, you know, their transplants post-transplant. We have had 100%, I have to knock on a lot of wood, but with so far to date with all of our transplants, we have had 100% outcomes in terms of all of our patients' kidneys still functioning at this point in time, patient survival. We have not had a single bad outcome yet. So I think that is something, again, that speaks to the experience of who is doing and performing these transplants in our community.
What would our listeners be most surprised to know about kidney donation?
I think something that, you know, that people don't realize, I think, is that really anybody can be a donor. And so to consider being a kidney donor, I think a lot of people think, oh, I'm too old, I'm too sick, I have too many things going on, I couldn't possibly be, you know, nobody would want my organs. That's just simply not true. Yes, there is, to be a living donor, there is different criteria to be a living donor, and that's a separate, you know, kind of issue. But to designate yourself as an organ donor, it really and truly can be anyone. So, and I think the other thing about the staggering statistic, the number of people who are in need of kidneys, is I don't think is something that is very well known. There are, again, about 90,000 people across the country waiting for a kidney. And just that number alone and being willing to donate a kidney is something that I don't think is really well known.
Amy, can you elaborate a little bit more on who can be an organ donor?
So when you're designated as an organ donor on your driver's license, for example, what that means is that you have basically given permission to say, like, yes, I do want to be an organ donor. I do want to try and give my organs to somebody who is in need. Does that mean that just because you're an organ donor that all organs will be taken and ultimately donated? There are certain factors, of course, that go into those decisions to whether, you know, like an organ is going to ultimately be utilized for a transplant or not. However, that being said, by having that designation as, you know, being wanting to donate an organ, remembering that skin is also an organ. And there are so many burn patients that are out there. So even if a solid organ such as a kidney or a heart or a lung can't be utilized, skin absolutely can be. Corneas absolutely can be. So having that designation and still being able to help someone through skin and cornea donation is extraordinarily important. So a lot of people think, like, with, you know, like organ donation, that we're just always talking about the solid organs, hearts, lungs, kidney, pancreas, liver, intestine. But that's not what we're exactly talking about. We're talking about, again, corneas and skin included in there as well. And so when I say that anybody can be an organ donor, that's what I mean. So it's, you know, again, where a solid organ may not entirely work, skin and cornea will. So that's why that is so critically important to designate as an organ donor, because truly speaking, in some way or fashion, everyone could truly be an organ donor.
Amy, UPMC Hammett's new liver transplant clinic helps patients pre- and post-surgery so that these very sick patients do not have to travel, except for surgery. Can you talk about that a little bit more?
Absolutely. So the liver outreach clinic that is happening at UPMC Hammett is very similar in concept to how kidney originally started at Hammett. So patients who have severe liver disease can come to the liver clinic here at Hammett, have their workup done, see their specialists here at Hammett, again, not having to travel to Pittsburgh to have any of that workup done, which can be pretty arduous, you know, and especially, you know, like when patients are very sick. So they can stay right here in their community, meet the specialist, be worked up by that team, have their testing done here locally. And then up until the point that they need a transplant or are on the liver transplant list for Pittsburgh, that's when they would need to go to Pittsburgh to have the actual transplant itself done. But then post-transplant, they can continue their care here in Erie. So it really eliminates the vast majority of need to travel, which is very, again, important for patients who are sick, you know, takes a financial burden off of people, and again, emotional, mental burden off as well.
Amy, we're finally coming to the end of our time here. Any final words or thoughts that you'd like to add?
Yeah, well, I do actually want to make sure that our listeners do know about some upcoming events that we're having. So on April 4th, we have two very important events happening at UPMC Hammett. One is at 10 o'clock in the morning, and that is our Donate Life flag raising ceremony. That will be in the lobby of UPMC Hammett. Anyone from the public is welcome to attend. That is an event where we do honor our donors, honor our recipients, again, for that very important life-saving gift that our donors have provided, and you know, to those recipients who have received those gifts. So it's a really special ceremony. And then also on Thursday, April 4th at 7:30 p.m. at the UPMC Hammett McGee Women's Hospital in the Lincoln Education Room, which is located on the first floor, we're having another event called the Celebration of Life. And this is really intended to really focus on those donors and that ultimate gift of life that they have provided to a recipient. At that event also, we will be able to look out the windows, and we will have the lighting of the Bicentennial Tower down at the foot of State Street. So that's pretty special to see that, you know, lit up. And again, that is in honor and recognition of our donors. On April 7th, which is a Sunday, at Presque Isle State Park, we are having our Dash to Donate 5K event. The race begins at 8:30. Registration starts at 7:30 in the morning. And we, you know, really like to see a lot of people come out and support that event. Again, it's just a fun way to raise awareness about organ donation and transplant. And then for anybody who's listening out in the Chautauqua region, the Jamestown area region, on Thursday, April 18th, we are going to be having a transplant town hall at the UPMC Chautauqua Auditorium at 6 o'clock p.m., and that's open to the public for anybody who is wanting to learn more about kidney transplant at UPMC Hammett. Welcome to attend, and we'll have our series of experts there to answer questions.
Thanks for listening to Business Spotlight on Money Radio WPSE. Business Spotlight is heard Fridays at noon. Join us again next week as the Erie Regional Chamber and Growth Partnership is in the Business Spotlight.